News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathik Ritsen Gupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. The government on Wednesday proposed to suspend the three contentious farm laws for 1.5 years and set up a joint committee to discuss the acts to end the stalemate. But farmer leaders did not immediately accept the proposal and said they will revert after their internal consultations. The next meeting has been scheduled for January 22, a day after the farmer unions hold their internal discussions on Thursday, farmer leaders said after the 10th round of talks ended at Vigyan Bhavan after nearly 5 hours of talks, including two breaks. The government proposed to suspend the farm laws for 1.5 years. We rejected the proposal, but since it has come from the government, we will meet tomorrow and deliberate over it, Bharatiya Kisan Union Ugrahan President Joginder Singh Ugrahan said. During the 10th round of negotiations with three central ministers, the two sides decided to meet again on Friday after the union leaders hold their own internal consultations on Thursday to decide on the government's new proposal. Briefing the media after a nearly five-hour-long meeting that included two breaks, Union Agriculture Minister Narendra Singh Tomar said the government has proposed to suspend implementation of the three laws for 1 to 1.5 years, during which period a joint committee of representatives from the government and farmers' sides can continue their talks and those protesting on Delhi borders in extremely cold weather return to their homes. The three laws have already been stayed by the Supreme Court till further orders, and a committee of experts has been formed to resolve the deadlock. The panel has been asked by the Apex Court to submit its report within 2 months after consulting all stakeholders. The leaders said unions are firm on their demand for a complete repeal of the laws, but they will still discuss the government's proposal and give their final decision in the next meeting. During the meeting, the government also offered to amend the three laws, but farmer leaders stuck to their demand and alleged that the centre was avoiding discussion on a legal guarantee for MSP. The committee held its first meeting on Tuesday and will begin its consultations with farmer groups and others from Thursday. Another farmer leader, Kavita Kuruganti, said the government also proposed to submit an affidavit in the Supreme Court for suspending the three farm laws for a mutually agreed period and set up a committee. Kulwant Singh Sandhu of Jamhuri Kisan Sabha said the government is on the back foot and it has started yielding ground to us. Farmer leaders said there was no breakthrough in the first two sessions as both sides were stuck on their stated positions vis-a-vis the three farm laws and there was little hope of any outcome other than fixing the date for the 11th round. Sources said the government proposed to keep the three farm laws suspended for a fixed time period and form a committee comprising of farmer union leaders and government representatives. The ministers proposed that the laws would remain suspended till the committee gives its report and urged farmer unions to suspend their agitation too till that time, sources added. Chief Election Commissioner Sunil Arora on Wednesday said those excluded from Assam's updated National Register of Citizens can vote in the assembly polls likely to be held in April-May if their names are on the final electoral rolls. The updated NRC under the direct supervision of the Supreme Court was released on August 31, 2019. The list excluded the names of 19,6,657 persons. A total of 3,11,21,004 names were included out of 3,30,27,661 applicants. The CEC cited a Union Home Ministry notification of August 29, 2019 that clarified that the exclusion of a person's name from the NRC does not amount to his or her declaration as a foreigner. Since the people excluded in the NRC have their names in the final voters list, they can exercise their franchise in the elections, he told the media. Those voters who were excluded from the NRC in Assam had cast their votes in the last Lok Sabha elections in 2019. The final electoral list in Assam was published on Monday. Assembly polls are to be held on the basis of the final electoral rolls, which have enlisted a total of 2,29,92,505 voters, including 1,12,34,579 women. Compared to the final 4-2 electoral roll of last year, the state has registered an increase of 2.46% voters in this year's final voters list. Arora, accompanied by election commissioners Sushil Chandra and Rajiv Kumar and senior officials, arrived in Guwahati on Monday and during the 3 days held a series of meetings with the political parties, police nodal officers, election-related regulatory agencies, district deputy commissioners and police officers, state home secretary and other senior central and state officials to review the poll preparedness. The EC also held meetings with Assam Chief Secretary Jishnu Barua, Director General of Police Bhaskar Jyoti Mahanta and Chief Electoral Officer Nitin Khade. The full bench of the EC left Guwahati for Kolkata on Wednesday and during its 3-day stay there would hold a similar exercise about the West Bengal Assembly polls. Trash collected from Mount Everest is set to be transformed into art and displayed in a nearby gallery to highlight the need to save the world's tallest mountain from turning into a dumping site. Used oxygen bottles, torn tents, ropes, broken ladders, cans and plastic wrappers discarded by climbers and trekkers. Later, the 8,848.86-meter-tall peak and the surrounding areas. Tommy Gustafson, project director and co-founder of the Sagarmatha Next Center, a visitors' information center and waste upcycling facility, said foreign and local artists will be engaged in creating artwork from waste materials and train locals to turn trash into treasures. "We want to showcase how you can transform solid waste to precious pieces of art and generate employment and income," Gustafson told Reuters. "We hope to change the people's perceptions about the garbage and manage it," he said. The center is located at an altitude of 3,780 meters at Siang Boche on the main trail to Everest Base Camp, 2 days' walk from Lukla, the gateway to the mountain. It is due for soft opening to locals in the spring as the number of visitors could be limited this year due to pandemic restrictions, Gustafson said. Products and artwork will be displayed to raise environmental awareness or sold as souvenirs, with the proceeds going to conservation of the region, he said. Trash brought down from the mountain or collected from households and tea houses along the trail is handled and segregated by a local environmental group, the Sagarmatha Pollution Control Committee. But the task in a remote region that has no roads is a huge challenge. Garbage is dumped or burnt in open pits, causing air and water pollution as well as contamination of soil. Pinjo Sherpa of the Eco Himal Group involved in the scheme said, "Under a Carry Me Back initiative, each returning tourist and guide will be requested to take a bag containing 1 kilogram of garbage back to Lukla Airport, from where the trash will be airlifted to Kathmandu." In 2019, more than 60,000 trekkers, climbers and guides visited the area. "We can manage a huge amount of garbage if we involve the visitors," Sherpa said. Everest was first climbed by New Zealander Sir Edmund Hillary and Sherpa Tenzing Norgay in 1953. Nearly 4,000 people have since made 6,553 ascents from the Nepalese side of the mountain, which can also be climbed from the Tibetan side in China, according to the Himalayan database. And Joe Biden was sworn in as the 46th President of the United States on Wednesday, declaring that democracy has prevailed and summoning American resilience and unity to confront the deeply divided nation's historic confluence of crises. Denouncing a national uncivil war, Biden took the oath at a U.S. Capitol that had been battered by an insurrectionist siege just 2 weeks earlier. Then, taking his place in the White House Oval Office, he plunged into a stack of executive actions that began to undo the heart of his polarizing predecessor's agenda on matters from the deadly pandemic to climate change. "The will of the people has been heard and the will of the people has been heeded. We have learned again that democracy is precious and democracy is fragile. At this hour, my friends, democracy has prevailed," Biden declared in a speech. "This is America's day. This is democracy's day. A day in history and hope of renewal and resolve," he said. History was made at his side as Kamala Harris became the first woman to be vice president. The former U.S. Senator from California is also the first black person and the first person of South Asian descent elected to the vice presidency and the highest ranking woman ever to serve in the U.S. government. Biden never mentioned his predecessor, who defied tradition and left town ahead of the ceremony, but his speech was an implicit rebuke of Donald Trump. The new president denounced lies told for power and for profit, and was blunt about the challenges ahead. The absence of Biden's predecessor from the inaugural ceremony underscored the national rift to be healed. But a bipartisan trio of former presidents, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama, were there to witness the transfer of power. Trump, awaiting his second impeachment trial, was at his Florida resort by the time the swearing-in took place. Biden was sworn in by Chief Justice John Roberts, Harris by Justice Sonia Sotomayor, the first Latina member of the Supreme Court. Vice President Mike Pence, standing in for Trump, sat nearby as Lady Gaga, holding a golden microphone, sang the national anthem accompanied by the U.S. Marine Corps Band. Trump was the first president in more than a century to skip the inauguration of his successor. After a brief farewell celebration at nearby Joint Base Andrews, he boarded Air Force One for the final time as president. "I will always fight for you. I will be watching. I will be listening. And I will tell you that the future of this country has never been better," said Trump. He wished the incoming administration well, but never mentioned Biden's name. Trump did adhere to one tradition and left a personal note for Biden in the Oval Office. Biden would only tell reporters that Trump wrote a very generous letter. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening, stay safe, and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.